If you noticed, we had no drums today. That is because both of our drummers are down in Texas doing hurricane relief work with a couple other people. So we need to pray for them that they have a good, safe return tonight. So the United States military takes the conduct of their officers, their commissioned officers, very, very seriously. They do. Matter of fact, if the military believes that if you disgrace yourself in a fashion that would bring discredit upon the military as a whole, you're in danger. Matter of fact, you're going to get charged with what they call, according to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, Article 133, Conduct Unbecoming an Officer and Gentleman, which states any commissioned officer, cadet, or midshipman who is acting in an official capacity for the U.S. military and who compromises his or her character in a dishonorable fashion, thereby dishonors the United States, and as a result, that service member will face charges under Article 133. And conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman. Now, we look at that and we say, well, is that kind of harsh? Is that good? But in a real way, we want people in certain positions to live up to what their calling is. I mean, we expect this. I know when I ride around with the police in my duties as a chaplain, when I became a chaplain, I had to read this big manual because they want you to act. They expect you to act in a certain way. If not, you're in trouble. And so there is a real way that certain groups kind of live in a fishbowl. Police are being watched all the time. And I don't think that that's bad. There's times we'll pull people over and they have a video camera. And it's like, okay. Because if you're doing what's right and you live in that fishbowl, there's nothing to worry about. Pastors have the same thing. And I've heard all along, well, pastors and their families live in a fishbowl, which means everybody's watching. And there's a part where it's like, well, yeah, what we are here is what we should be when we're not here. And you would not want me to be your pastor if I was doing all kinds of sinful things. It would be hypocrisy. You wouldn't be here. Most of you would not be here. But where we fail to really make the connection, like you expect me to live a certain way, and you should. But the scripture is very clear that if you're here today and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your conduct should be that which reflects your calling in Christ. That's what it is all about. So open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to see this. Now, we are in our 20th week in our study in the book of Ephesians. And in a real way, we're just ending halftime and we're starting the second half. The first half, the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians was the first half, and like Paul often does, he'll talk about doctrine for the first three chapters, and then he turns it over and he gets practical on how to live all of that out. So we are at the halfway mark in our study from the standpoint of chapters-wise, and we were in planning meeting. We're planning how are we going to go through this? Now, you can go through books of the Bible real quick. You can do the whole book of Ephesians in 1 week, or you can get lower to the ground. You can get more detailed, and we have decided to go at just a good slow pace. So today we're going to look at one verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, which says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you were called." Now, here's what we're going to do with this verse, because there's a whole sermon right here. We're going to look at basically five words. I therefore, we're going to look at what the therefore is there. A prisoner of the Lord. We spent a whole week on that phrase back in chapter 3, verse 1. Urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you were called. So those highlighted words, therefore, urge, walk, worthy, and calling, we're going to look at all of those in detail. And we're going to look at a lot of Bible. I don't apologize for that because I want you to get the Bible. And part of this is you're going to see, I want you to get this concept. I want you to get this concept. So let's get started. What is the therefore, therefore? And when it says, I, therefore, in your Bibles, you could make a big arrow pointing back to the previous section. That's exactly what it's doing. It is pointing back to what has just preceded. And in reality, it's the first three chapters of the glorious doctrine of what Christ has done for us and all of what he has called us to, that we would be filled with the fullness of God. But I want to do a quick review of our identity in Christ as we found that in chapter 1. So let me just read a bit of chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." Verse 4, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love." Verse 5, "He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will." Verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." Verse 11, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." Verse 13, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." And it goes on and on. And so when he says therefore, he's pointing back to all of those glorious truths that are for us. And so we look at that and say, okay, this is what? He says, "So I therefore, prisoner of the Lord," and then he goes on to the second one, Paul's passionate appeal. He says, "I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you." Urge you. Paul makes no apologizing. That word there is the idea of pleading. It is that of begging. It is a strong desire. It is a intense feeling. He's not like take it or leave it. He's like, yes, I've given you all these glorious truths in the first three chapters. Now, just do whatever you want to do. He is, if you will, grabbing you by the shoulders. And he's saying, listen, in light of all of these great truths, here's what we're called to do and to be. And I love his passion in this. You can see his heart. It's the heart that a father has for his children. When your children are deciding a direction they can go, and some of that might not be good, you want to grab them, and you want to plead with them, and you want to beg them to do what is right. And so Paul, he does this. We see it again in different portions in the scripture. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "I urge you, then, be imitators of me." Paul's saying, listen, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That statement right there is something that if you're a Christian today, and maybe you're even a new believer, let's say you've been a Christian for a year, you can look to people who are newer Christians than you, and you could say, hey, follow me as I follow Jesus. Not going to be perfect, but follow me. I'm begging you to do that. You're helping people to find their way. Romans 12:1, "I appeal to you," and King James says, "I beseech you therefore to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "We exhort each of you, and encourage you and charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." And so you can see the passion. And can I say, I'm trying to echo his passion, because as I was sitting up in my tree stand praying for you, it's like, I'm begging you, Lord, and I'm praying for you. I'm urging you, let us all walk in a manner worthy of God. Let's do this. Because you will be miserable if you live for you. You're going to be. I'm telling you, it happens, and it happens easy. You get your eyes off of him, and there is no joy And so he pleads with us. He pleads. He says, in light of all these things, do this. Now, he says, walk in a manner. Walk in a manner. What does that mean? The walk refers to your day-by-day conduct. It does. Everybody here has a walk. You, if you're here today and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a walk. Just like physically we have a walk. I was talking to Don Gallat about this, and I was going to illustrate like a bad walk, and then people would think I'm making fun of people, and I don't want to make fun of people, but Don, who has had multiple knee surgeries, multiple hip surgeries, he said, you could use me as an example. And so I didn't want to trot him up here, but you know Don, we love Don. You see Don walking down the hallway, there's no doubt whose gait that is. There's no doubt that how he is walking in his body that has gone through multiple surgeries, you can tell. You can absolutely tell. That's Don. I'm not sitting there saying, that's Jimmy. Nope, that's Don. I mean, you could see him from behind. Even if you just saw a shadow, that's Don. No doubt about it. And every one of us has a walk. We do have a certain way that we are walking. And in the Bible, over 40 times in the New Testament, the Scripture talks about our walk and how we are to walk. And again, I plead with you, brothers and sisters, if you're a Christian, here, it's real clear. It's real clear how we are to walk. What scares me is how when you're at church and when we're at church, and this is in every church, everyone's dressed nice, they're talking nice, they're acting nice. But you get out of this place, it's real easy to act differently. And it's like the Lord's saying to you and me, really? Come on now. In light of all that I've done for you, may you be what you are. And may that walk be true. And so in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, we too walk in newness of life. Our walk is different than the world walks, or it should be. If I slapped a GoPro on you and that GoPro went where you went and videoed everything you said and everything you did, it should be identical to how you're acting in these four walls. Identical. It should be. And he says, walk in newness of life. He says in Romans 13:13, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies, not in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarrels and jealousies. Why? No, we walk as children of light. Romans 14:15, for if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. So we are to walk in love. I mean, that's how careful our walk should be. We live, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. It's a faith walk. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best of best use of our time. When you leave here, you go to work, you go to school tomorrow, you go back into your neighborhoods today, you need to walk wisely. Because there is a lost and dying world out there that's desperately looking for Christians to act like Christians. And when we act like the world, and there's no difference, it's like, how is that attractional to the gospel? We of all people should be those that are marked differently by the love and the beauty of Jesus Christ. It is clearly what we are called to do, and we're going to see that. Colossians 1:10, so to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 John 1:6, but if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's a convicting one. Because is our walk a lying walk? If it's different, if you're walking different outside these four walls than you are here in any way, it's putting off a false signal, a false message. And we are called to walk in light, to walk in truth. And so he says, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. What does walking worthy mean? And this whole concept, I think, is a little hard to understand. The Greek word literally is the idea, the root comes from the balancing of scales. So what is on one side should be worthy or equal to the other side. I read in the commentary that by extension, the word came to apply to what was expected of someone else. So a workman is to be worthy of his wages. So there should be a balance that is there. And so our calling, what we've been called to, is one thing. Our life should be in line with that. We should walk worthy of that. 3 John 1:6, you will do well to send him on their way in a manner worthy of God. One of the passages we already look at, we exhort each of you, each one of you, and encourage you and charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So that walk is one, it's a charge, it is something that he's doing. Another one in Colossians 1:10, again, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. So we can't get around the concept. And it's not like, well, that's just for pastors. The rest of us, you know, you got to understand, some of you come from traditions where you have the laity and you have the clergy like up here. That's not how it is. Yes, we lead and teach, but we are like you, sinners saved by grace, and we are called to walk in a manner worthy. This is not just something about, it's like, well, they're in that profession, so they got to be careful. No, as believers, this is what we're called to. Philippians 1:27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at that and I look at myself, it's like, well, I fail. I'm a loser. Like, how do I do that? I mean, how in a real way do we do that? Because the gospel's perfect. I'm not perfect. And how do I do this? And the danger is as a pastor, I can sit here and point my little finger and say, you guys need to get your act together. You gotta suck it up. You gotta pull up your boots and get strong, and you gotta do this in your own power. Here's the difficulty. We can't do this in our own power. How are you gonna walk in a manner worthy of the gospel? We can't do that in our own power. We can, apart from him, we can do nothing. So what is implied here goes back to chapter 3 when he said that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And then in verse 19, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Here's the key to this. How do we walk in a manner pleasing? We can't do it. But we desperately need to be at the place where we say, Holy Spirit, help me. And we got to do this every moment of every day. Every moment of every day. We have to. Because you and I left our own devices. We will go sideways. I will go sideways. And I will go just like that. And you may say, well, I would never do that. Yes, you will. The devil who wants to steal, kill, and destroy will get you so distracted that you'll be focused on you and not on him and not on the walk to which we are called. So we have to say, Lord, help me. And so go back to my plane two-wing illustration. There is a part of this that's totally on us. But then there's a part of it that said, even in that wing, I can't do it. So I say, Lord, Jesus, help me. Spirit, fill me today that I would yield to you, that I would submit to you every moment. How's a husband going to love his wife like Christ loved the church? He can't in his own power. How are you not going to grumble and complain with what goes on in life? You can't. And so every day, we are called to battle this because you and I, and I, this always offends people, but you and I are lazy and we're self-centered. I'm sorry. Oh, you hurt my feelings. Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I'm saying that about me. All right, so I've been gone the last 2 weeks. I've been up hunting, right? And it's been good, but it's also been challenging. You know, a couple weeks ago, we got the news that Josh and Susie's baby was going back to a family member. We're heartbroken, and mine's distracted. My normal pattern of getting into the Word and listening to things for me didn't have it. Because I was up looking at trees, waiting for deer to come by. And it's real easy to go sideways in your thinking. Real easy. And so you got to battle that every day. There is a battle every day where you get up and you say, Lord, help me to be filled with your fullness. Help me, I need you. Yes, you and I are responsible. We got to do our part. If we fail, it's not because we can't sit there and say, the Lord let me down this time. No, the scripture says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we every day our walk, our life is lived in a manner worthy of the gospel. And I can't say this strong enough. Our Christianity is a joke if we're not really leaning into this. Because what are we doing? We're leaving here, and it's almost like we flip the switch. We take off our church garments, we hang them up, and then we go on to walk our regular way. We walk like the world. The world's crabbing, we're going to crab. The world complains, we're going to complain. The world's negative, we're going to be negative. The world does this, but we are called to be children of light, brothers and sisters. And why is that? Because of the calling to which we're called. We have been called in a holy calling. And so we're to walk worthy of that calling. You have been called to a position. Now we are, in a real sense, by his power, in his strength, called to live up to that position. And again, we can only do it with his help. And when we do this, by the way, you will never be happier, more fulfilled, more at peace, because you know, I'm living for the audience of one here. If I live to please you, if you live to please someone else, it doesn't work. But if you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, live to please the one to whom you will have to give an account, and you don't play games, you're all out for him, then it's good. But if I got to sit there and say, I got to look good, I got to do some things to make sure I look good in front of people, that's just hypocrisy. We live for the audience of one, and we live by his power in a way that is worthy to what we've been called. And the scripture is real clear about our calling. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, here's what it says. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. Verse 27, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world and the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being may boast in the presence of God. And it is because of him you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. He will do good works through us, and our boast is in him. We do nothing. So again, a couple more Bible passages. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who saved us? Did he save you? We're going to partake of the Lord's table here in a minute. Have you been saved from your sins? Have you been saved from the wrath of God? If you have, the scripture says, who saved you, saved us, and called us to a, what kind of calling is that? Holy. Not because of our own works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. First Peter 1:15. But as he who has called us in holy is holy, so also be holy in how much of your conduct? all your conduct. Not just on, you know what? Be holy in 10% of your conduct. Be holy, 50%. I'm a 50%er. No, he says every part of our lives. So my prayer for us today is that we can't go on. The rest of the book is going to be how to do it. The rest of the book is going to be giving us one thing after another thing after another thing after another thing on how to do it. But it starts with the whole concept of you need to know this is your calling. If you're here today, you are called to a high calling that you would glorify Him. We're bought with a price. And so I am called to this high calling. I can't do it on my own. I need Him every day, but I got to do my part. But I can't do my part. So Lord, I need You. And when we do that, there is joy, there is purpose. All the things that are spinning around in this world, they all calm down. They really do. Because if you're chasing things in this world, there's certain things you can chase, there's certain things you can't. I mean, one of the great things of resting in the Lord, and this is something with the Deems, this year has been for them. They could do nothing, but they could rest in the Lord. Every trial, every miscarriage, every difficulty, every doctor's appointment, what are you going to do? You got to trust in the Lord. You got to hold on to Him. You got to hold on to Him. Even though we walk through the valley, that land between, you got to hold on to Him. I don't know where you're at today. I have been praying for us as a church that we would get this, that we would understand, that we would get that we are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we're called. Because if you do and you leave here, He's going to use you. He's going to use you to be an encouragement to other people. He's going to use you to be a blessing to other people. He's going to use you in His service to do things that you will never know. I didn't get permission to tell the story, but I'm going to tell it anyways, and I'm not going to mention names. I guess I can get away with that, right? If I'm in trouble? Oh, well. So one of our people is at the grocery store, and there is a lady who is struggling to buy groceries. And I don't know all the situation, but having a hard time doing it. Our person steps up and thought it was only $25, says, I'll pay for it. Swipes the card, up comes $125. Now, that's great if you got a lot of money in the bank. This dear person who swiped that card didn't have that other $100 in the bank. Yeah, that's the look. It's like, ouch. And so, all worried, it's going to cause a little bit of potential family drama. You know, does it anyways. I hear about it, and we're going to help her make it right. And she was like, all worried, and I'm like, oh no, don't be worried. I said, what a great thing. You sensed a need. Here's someone struggling. You were a blessing to them. You did it in the name of the Lord. That is a beautiful, good thing. The Lord's going to take care of everything else. What do we have that we don't, it's, you know, you're worried about stuff? What are you worried about? He has it all. And even though some of these things are so difficult, does not the God of the universe have our lives? You are called to an immensely high and amazing calling. We just got to trust Him. Sometimes it is through your tears. Through your tears you'll do that. I've been telling people I have not cried as much in the last 2 weeks in the last 30 years. What I know is this. There is a God in heaven who is absolutely sovereign over everything and works all things according to the counsel of His will. And I'm going to do nothing but trust Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And you know what? If we do that and we walk in a manner worthy of His calling, it will be all good. We're going to partake of the Lord's table. I'm going to have the band come forward. And part of this is you got to examine your life. You have to really look to say, am I walking in a way that's different outside of these four walls? Do I act differently with some people than I do with other people? Because that's hypocrisy. And if that's the case, in every venue you are at, whether it's with your close buddies or with strangers or wherever you are, we're to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we are called, pleasing Him in every way, a walk that's in the light, a walk that is loving and caring. So examine your heart. We're going to partake of the Lord's table. If you're here and you're a visitor and you know Jesus as your Savior, you are invited to partake. The Scripture gives us a warning. We're to examine ourselves, whether we're in the faith. We're to make sure that there's not sin that we're just holding on to. It's like, this is my sin, I'm holding on to it. No. And so ask the Lord to reveal that and then repent of it. For some of you, I was going to have three blocks up here, good, better, and best. Some of you have been living for what's good, but you know it's not the best. And again, you're called to a high calling. Our conduct should be becoming of the gospel. So let the Lord work in your hearts. And just bow your heads and examine your heart right now.